The kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed, which when planted in a man's spirit, produces the very life of God in him. Get ready to receive the transforming power of the Word and the Spirit of God that will make your destiny count.
Happy New Year to every one of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give Jesus praise. It's a privilege to be here again. And I know that the Lord has brought us to do us good. Hallelujah. When Pastor Alpha was preaching, in my mind I was saying, look, I'm already enjoying the message. You can just ride it through and then we get blessed. Very sound teaching. And I think that one of the things that we have to take our time to appreciate is the quality of the word. Talking from the Bible does not necessarily mean preaching the word. Herbalists use Bible. Native doctors use Bible. The Bible is a prophetic book. You can make it speak any language. But when it is taught with precision that is derived from the Holy Spirit, then it becomes edifying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want us to celebrate first and foremost the men of God, our fathers, blessings. Hallelujah. 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 We honor you, sir. May the Lord increase you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want us to celebrate Pastor Alpha and his wife. Honor them as your pastor. I also want us to, in 1 minute, celebrate all those who have committed themselves to make this vision come to pass through prayers, fastings, and seeds. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and cry for a visitation tonight. Ask the Lord to give you a visitation. Father, we have come to hear you speak to us. Ask the Lord to speak very deeply. I know that there are people who have come from far, people who have come from different places. We have come hungry to receive. I'd like us to pray. So Spirit of God, our hearts are open. Let such an understanding be established upon our hearts. We praise you. We praise you.
Heaven and earth adore you. Let's bow before you. You're beautiful. You're beautiful, beautiful.
Help us, technical.
The heavens and earth adore you, and the angels bow before you. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Lift your hands and worship.
You're beautiful.
Bless in his name.
You're beautiful.
Is a summit, it's a convergence of the thoughts of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you open us up to this present truth Let us understand that which the Spirit is saying expressly to the church. Lord, we declare that we have ears to hear tonight. Our hearts are open. We submit to you, great Rabbi. Teach us. Let us hear that sound from the Spirit. Our hearts are opening. Bless him just for one more minute. His presence is here.
Even so, would you come, Yeshua, come?
I'm not singing.
Even so, come take your bride away. How my soul longs to see your face, my King. Even so, even so, come Yeshua, come.
Oh, we invoke your presence.
Even so, would you come, Yeshua, come? Even so, come and take your bride away. How my soul longs to see your face, my King. Even so, even so, come Yeshua, come. Come and make our hearts your home. Come and be everything we ask and all we know. It's our prayer, Lord, tonight. Would you search us through and through till our hearts become a home for you? Till our hearts become a home for you. Till our hearts become.
Please be seated. God bless you. His presence is mighty in this place. Sit down. Sit down. Bless you. I'd like for our hearts to be opened. There are many ministers that God is going to be using to bless us. I want us to first and foremost really have an appreciation for what it is that God is doing, because it takes people who are really passionate about God first and foremost to put meetings that are strategically designed for the edification of the body beyond the local assembly. Secondly, I believe that your coming here tonight is a communication of your passion for God, your desire not only to learn but to continue in the things of the Spirit. Spiritual growth is not compulsory, but it is a requirement if you must be relevant in the things of God. So it is totally up to you to define far you can go in God. You can get to a point where you choose and say, no, I pitch a tent here and this is how far I can go. And that spells out the degree to which God will be able to do business with you. But if you want to do great business with God, there must be a hunger in your heart and a contention. Not just to be a pastor, not just to have a church, not just to be able to speak rhema. The body of Christ is not lacking in revelation. I can tell you this. There are men and women who have been able to press to dimensions. They have contacted the eye of the Spirit. And with it, they have been able to bring deep things in the Spirit. But the major challenge with the body of Christ is the inability to hold on to the substance of the reality of the experience of God. It is very obvious through our teachings. It is very obvious through our programs. It is very obvious through our understanding that we are lacking in a comprehension of the depth of the reality of God. And so whilst on one side preachers pride themselves, especially in meetings like this that has a plethora of different vessels, it is usually the pressure upon ministers to want to dispense what they will want to call the latest revelation. And then many preachers are more concerned about giving a congregation an awareness of a reality that they probably may have not known. And sometimes we preachers fall victim of this error because in our sincere bid to feel relevant and to feel fresh, we come under the pressure of just deriving satisfaction over the confusion that we leave in people. And we rejoice at their expression of shock as we dispense what we call to be the mysteries of the kingdom. And so whilst we are dispensing these things and they are being confused and dumbfounded, and members have a way of reacting to revelation in different ways. Some will put their hands on their head. Some will jump and shout. And somehow, if the man of God is not careful, he can be caught up in the euphoria of trying to justify his ministry as far as the dispensing of the word is concerned. And then leave the people with an awareness, not an encounter. An awareness does not create conviction. It cannot bring transformation. An awareness only creates curiosity. At best, it may just fuel your desire to go for more. But listen, it takes more than stories and words and the eloquence of speech to bring people into an experience that can change them. Every man communicates the substance of his reality with God. You cannot pretend a dimension that has not become truth to you. You may be able to communicate it because you listen to a message by a man of God and you are reproducing. But every time you speak to people, their spirits are able to discern the dimension from which you are communicating from. And they know when the substance of your communication is coming from a depth of reality. This is what I want to be planted in our hearts. It's not so much about the eloquence of speech, believe me. It is about coming to a point where you have a track record and a testament, an epistle of intimacy with the Holy Spirit that cannot be denied. Cannot be denied. So I hope that many of us did not come tonight just to hear Joshua Selman and hear the latest revelation. While that is important, or to hear the latest thing, you can run back to your campus fellowships with all your churches. For some of you, just the excitement of meeting a man of God takes more than that. And I want our hearts to be open. I'll be very brief tonight. It's an introduction. I'm just laying a foundation. I truly came tonight trusting that God will give us understanding. This is what we need. Awareness cannot bring transformation. Awareness can even be used as a tool by the devil to create complacency. Because when you are aware of many things, every time they are talking about them,
you can help the man of God finish the statement, and you convince yourself that on the strength of your awareness of that truth, it doesn't necessarily mean you have come into the light of it.
Open our eyes, oh God.
You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh. Sit down, sit down. You are mighty on your throne. Oh, sing, thou fountains of the deep, and weep, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Break forth, thou spirit of the deep, and cry, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. 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 You are mighty in the last place. 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 You are mighty in our lives. Mighty in our lives. Mighty in our lives. You mighty in
my Revelations 17. Tonight we are going to be examining very briefly the mystery Babylon. In a bit to understand the kingdom and to understand God's agenda and program, we must realize that there is a contention between two kingdoms. I think I was able to establish a bit of that last year's summit. By now, help me. Is a contention of two kingdoms. One is the kingdom of light, the Bible tells us. The other is the kingdom of darkness. And the object of the contention is man. Man stands as the figure and the object and the substance. Man is the only legal entity vested with the capacity to demonstrate the excellency and the victory of that kingdom. If Christ is enthroned as Lord, it will be done on the platform of man's allegiance. If Satan prevails and darkness seems to rise and seem to prevail against light, man is the object that will amplify that notion. And so man is a sensitive being because he stands in the middle of an agenda, a contention of loyalty and allegiance between two kingdoms. This is the entire summary of the existence of humanity. The journey into declaring the sovereignty and the superiority of the kingdom of our God, or the inability of God to contend over darkness, and the eventual victory of Satan, and the object that is vested with the responsibility of heralding the victory of the Christ or the victory of the devil is man. Man is a very important personality, you see. That is the reason why the whole activity in the earth is all about man. Man is the reason why there is salvation. Man is the reason why there is witchcraft. Man is the reason why there is prosperity. Man is the reason why there is poverty. Man is the reason why heaven is moving around and carrying out their activities for this dispensation. Man is the reason why Satan goes through and forth, moving all around. Man is the reason why Christ will be enthroned in the earth. Man
is the reason why evil might prevail over good. Man is the only object, not one of many, the only entity that is able to demonstrate experientially in this earth realm whether or not the victory of Christ is true, or the continual pursuit of Lucifer to be the king over creation. Are we together now? And so the psalmist, understanding this, began to communicate very intricately when you read from Psalm 8. Don't turn there. And it says, what is man that thou art mindful of? He says, not the son of man that thou visitest him. What is this big deal about man? Can't you create another creation, another humanoid species that will replace him? What is it about this man? He offends you again and again and again, and you are quick to come to his rescue. What is it about this man that is so much your obsession? Everything in your heart, as mighty as you are, is man. What is it about man that discomforts Satan? Every meeting, every manifestation of witchcraft is all about man. 24 hours, the discussion in heaven and the discussion in hell is all about man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Not the son of man that thou visitest him. It says, for you have made him a little lower than Elohim, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have set him over all your creation. In doing that, you left nothing under his feet. You have made him the apex. He is the most rebellious of all your creation. Yet you have set him as the prime, the king of all your creation. And so you must understand that our existence is very important for God. And it's also very important for Satan. Satan's ultimate desire is not to kill you. Killing you is a resort to make sure that God is not left with an option. But Satan's ultimate idea is not to kill mankind. Because when a king does not have citizens, he cannot be a king. Satan's ultimate desire is to bring man and creation into subjection to a system and a government that experientially enthrones him in the spirit of the Christ. Now, killing, stealing, destroying are only vehicles that are employed to strengthen that strategy. Are we together tonight? I want to be as simple as possible so that we will follow. The same way God's ultimate idea is not just to exit you out of the earth to heaven and you keep flying around and singing songs. No. God's ultimate idea is that the earth will be purged, and then the old heaven and the old earth will pass away, and then Christ, the victorious king, together with the saints in light who have established his victory, will come and dwell and be the light of that city. Where the Bible says there will be no more night, for the lamp will be the light of the city. Are we together now? But between the history and the prophecy of the victory of Christ is a contention. And this entire conference is an attempt to communicate to us what that contention is, what that strategy is, and to help us again to understand our roles, our contributions in making this system and the agenda of God come to pass. And through the vista of prophecy, to be able to see through God's mind what exactly is his program and exact strategy for birthing this victory. Are we together? I believe that if we are able to accomplish this, I just read to you the course content of this conference, so that at the end of this conference, we are equipped with the understanding. We understand the system. We understand how valuable we stand in prophecy. So tonight, we are going to talk about Mystery Babylon very briefly. Revelation 17. And there came out, verse 1, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, and he talked with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot. Now, notice the description. It says, I will show you, oh beautiful, it's projected and it's very clear, so you can look up. It says, and I will show unto you the judgment of the great war or harlot. Now, notice he's trying to describe Babylon. The first description is he describes her as a what? A harlot. Who is a harlot? A harlot is one who is committed to having an affair, not a relationship. One is committed to stealing out and helping to break the covenant and the sanctity of marriage. Are we together now? So he says, I will show you the great harlot. And then he says, this harlot sits upon many waters. I want you to understand the description. He's describing to us the system, Babylon. Next verse, please. Help us, media. We'll read it all as far. It says, with whom? Let's see those who slept with this harlot. The kings of the earth have committed fornication. Aha. So the king, when a man wants to sleep with a harlot, he gets and then pays her, or at least has an agreement that is of mutual benefit. Is that not true? That there is something I can receive from you and there is something I will give you back, whether monetary value or at least access to something. I want us to understand this system very carefully. It says, and the inhabitants of the earth have been drunk with the wine of their fornication. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And now I saw a woman. You need to realize that a woman in the Bible is a mystery, because a woman represents a gate, access to a reality. So when the Bible talks about woman, it's not necessarily just talking about a she figure, right? It says, and I saw a woman sit up, a scarlet colored beast. Now, notice this. The woman is sitting on a beast, full of the names, identities, blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple. Purple is a symbol of royalty. This woman was adorned in royalty. And scarlet color. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Verse 5. I want us to read this together. Everyone, want to read. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. The entire span of wickedness and evil, the definition of rebellion against the government of Christ, is encapsulated in this woman called the Mystery Babylon. Why is she called Babylon? Babylon was an ancient city. Is that not true? And so the Bible is trying to give us an idea that that ancient city was under the influence of a spiritual entity, a spirit. The physical city, Babylon, is only a child of the spiritual system. Are we together now? Now, it says she had a name. Remember, the Bible tells us also that Jesus Christ rides upon a white horse. Is that true? And the Bible says he had a name. So we can see that this system demonstrates her allotry, among other things, by attempting to mimic the Christ. Are we together now? Is God speaking to us? The Mystery Babylon. It's a system
that has been responsible for the fallen nature of man. It's the system that typifies the apex of rebellion against the government of Christ. And tonight we're going to at least peep into that system. But then let's turn to verse chapter 18. 18, and we'll read verse 1 to 4. Let me leave us with a note of prophecy that will give us an encouragement before we now just touch on three things and then we'll be done for tonight. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Illumination from an angel. Light. Is it possible? Another mic? I think that one was better, please. Hallelujah. Sorry about that. It says, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Verse 2. He cried mightily with a strong voice. What was the prophecy? Everybody, read. One, two, read. Shout hallelujah to that prophecy. So, before we begin to talk about the system, there is already a prophecy that, as organized as it is, there is a system coming that will crumble it to its knees. Hallelujah. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth, how did they become rich? Look at this. Look at how the world's millionaires became rich. It's not because they were intelligent. It's telling you what they did. You just know that they had great businesses. But the Bible is saying, no way. Something happened in the secret. They worked through the abundance of her delicacies. She is a woman that can make men rich. It's a system that can give men all kinds of things. I'm tempted to show you something. Let's go to verse 12. We're ultimately going to end in verse 4. But then let's go to verse 12. Let's look a bit at the activities of Babylon. Because Babylon is not just a harlot. It's a businesswoman too. And let's see what she sells. Ready? Some of you are on your way to go and buy it. Verse 12, are you ready? I will read verse 12 and then we'll read 13 together. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk, she can make you royal. Are you seeing it now? It says, and Tyan wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble, 13. And cinnamon and odors and ointment and frankincense and wine and anointing. She also sells anointing. Are we together? Let's read on. And fine flour and wheat. All right, start reading now. And beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and what? Stop. She can sell slaves. Who are they? She literally can make men helplessly submissive to you. Does it look like any politician has used this woman before? And then finally, she sells what? What kind of businesswoman is this who can give you everything, including the soul of a man? The mystery Babylon. Is God speaking to us now? The Bible tells us that the kings of the earth worked strong. In other words, they went to meet her and say, help us. We need influence. We need power. We need the souls of men to be submissive. And she said, I have all of this. Only have that ungodly fraternity and that intercourse with me.
But the Bible says Babylon the Great is falling. Let's look at verse 4. 18 verse 4. And we'll stop there. Shabbat. This is the warning. And this is the crux of my teaching. Let's read together. One, two, read. Stop. Meaning, if you are not of God, this announcement doesn't interest you. You can go on with your fraternity. But he said, I am about to destroy her. And anyone that has come into partnership with her will perish also. Because it's a covenant. We excel together and we perish together. And like the days of Noah, before the judgment came, he said, come out. There is an ark of safety I have prepared. Leave her and come into another system, because inevitably I am about to send judgment. It's God speaking to us. He says, come out of her. Who? My people. He said, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her. So when you partake of her delicacies, you must receive of her plagues. Are we together now? So sit down. Let me start teaching now. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. What is Babylon? Number one, write it down. Babylon is the system that is designed by Satan to totally ignore God or involve him as part of the many options. Listen, I need to explain to you how this system functions. Can I step down a bit? Is that all right? The structure, listen, the nature of the operation of Babylon, hear me, is such that the moment you come into this system, the system produces a culture in you. Are we together now? A culture means the way of life of a people. That means the system makes you to live in a particular way. The Bible tells us we are in the world, but not of the world. In other words, we do not live by this system. Are we together now? Thank you. Thank you very much, sirs. God bless you. I think I'm more comfortable so that I'm more direct. Thank you very much. Are we together now? So, this system of Babylon, when you come into fraternity with her, you come into partnership, the first thing Babylon does is to make you refuse to acknowledge God. Or, if you must be spiritual, then it allows you to see God as one important component of life. Are we together now? This is the first dimension of the operation of the system of Babylon. Everywhere that system is at work, the first manifestation is the deliberate refusal to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. It can use westernization. It can use education. It can use technology. It can use civilization. But it's one and the same system evolving through time. Are we together now? So the first trait of this system is that it thrives on the strength of godlessness. It wants you to come to a point where you do not acknowledge that there is a God. And then when it finds out it cannot bring you to that point, then it makes you to acknowledge that, all right, there is some sovereign power somewhere. And then God is only like Baha'i, like Buddha. There's no big deal. It trivializes the omnipotence, all power, all knowing, the might of God, and the fact that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. That is a concept that Babylon comes to choke away.
Babylon brings you to a point where you have no reason to acknowledge the sovereignty of any king above you. Are we together now? Does it look like you can see Babylon right now in your environment? Because it's everywhere. Every time it comes into a system, it chokes out godlessness. So every time you find out that you are not acknowledging God, it's like a spell. The spell of Babylon is at work. It brings you to a point where there is a deliberate refusal. You feel embarrassed acknowledging God. So when you have a Christian ringtone on your phone and it's about to ring, you pick it quickly. That's Babylon. The moment you begin to be ashamed of the exclusive sovereignty, the Babylon cultures your mind into being embarrassed about being godly. It becomes something you cannot identify with. Are you getting me now? The moment that system came into being, some people went and met the king and said, "Oh king, we want Daniel to stop praying to one God. Please, for heaven's sake, let there be no prayer." Does it sound to you like what is happening in America? "Let there be no prayer. Nobody, only you, oh king. You are the only one we know. We don't believe in anyone anywhere." And he pleased the king. And he said, "All right, I pass a decree." Listen, 30 days without acknowledging God was for enough for the spirits of the Medes and the Persians to finish the city of Babylon. How many days? What kind of law will be passed for just 30 days? After 30 days, you will reverse it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He says, "And lean not on your own understanding." Next verse. "In all your ways," do what? How do you acknowledge visitors? When you stand, you say, "We are here," before we shut down anything we are doing. And we say, "We cannot continue this program until we show that there is a man of God," and we try to display all the things he has done. And we say, "Oh, this and that was done by this man. Let's rise up in honor and appreciation to this grace." It's called acknowledgement. And Babylon says, "Don't do that. Do it. It's not necessary. Why waste time acknowledging him?" So the moment you get admission, Babylon says, "You are intelligent. Are you not seeing it? Every time you want to acknowledge him," he says, "it's not necessary." The first strategy of Babylon is to bring men to a point where they lose the consciousness of godlessness. And let me tell you what Satan is doing right now. Satan is not after you. He's after this. You see this little girl? That's the future of Satan's agenda. He's not after you again as far as this agenda is concerned. Because thank God for some of our parents. They knew that they came from the foundations of witchcraft. And many of them may not pray in the spirit, but one thing is, they whipped you to remain in godliness. The day you sag your jeans, they beat out that Babylon from you. Thank God for them. So they have been able to preserve God consciousness in you. And so Satan says, "I give up. This generation loves God too much. Let's just make them complacent. But let's start with these ones. So that by the time they are 20 years, when you say God, they say, 'Where is he?'" America today is a resultant effect of this agenda. This is what the Spirit of the Lord began to reveal to me. Pay attention. I'm being very prophetic in my teaching. When God's generals were busy healing the sick, the spirit of Babylon distracted them, and they never focused on building their young ones. And Satan said, "Leave them, they will die." He says, "Let's go back. Let's start working on their babies." They left their children at home and were in the field for 1 year, 2 years, winning souls. And Satan was winning their children. The children today are now the governors. The children today are now the ambassadors. Are you following me now? Satan created a system that grew with them. So after the Smith Wigglesworths and the William Seymours and all of them died, that's why there are few people who are ever carrying the mantles of the generals. That was their carelessness. And our generation must pay attention. God's generals generally had a track record of not raising their children. Spoke about Abraham, he said, I know he will teach. Right? He will teach his children. So Satan grew with the system. I think it was a few years ago, they asked the founder of Channel O, I think it was Channel O or MTV, one of these channels, MTV, right? They said, it looks like you have such an influence over children from, I think, ages 9 to 16. And he laughed. He said, we don't influence them, we own them. We have created a system that has made their love for us like breathing. Are we together now? Have you seen lately the level to which children of ages 7, maybe down to 16, 17, are becoming rebellious? They are buying into this Babylon thing big time. Because Satan has given them another motivation of maturity. So the number of secular songs you can sing and the kinds of dress modes and all those kinds of things, the moment that happens, he has made it look like if that happens to you, you are successful. Are we together now? So you find a child of 9 years talking about an Android device and you are wondering, my goodness, how old are you? 9 years. And he needs an Android device. And you open it up and then you will see pornography, you will see all kinds of things thanks to the internet. Babylon is at work. A system that brings men to a point where they no longer have respect. How many parents fight with their children every Sunday to sit down in church? The moment the guy sits down, you find out that in church, there are some young boys, you see them stand outside. And then the corresponding ladies that respond to them, you see them strolling around hoping to be seen. All those nonsense going on, right, are all the activities of Babylon. They come to church and then they stay outside strolling, talking about phones, talking about all these things. And when service is over, bros, I just finished church, so where you there? Let me tell you this. If there is no rising up from the church to contend, we are about to lose a generation. I guarantee you. Do you know why barrenness is rampant among Christian homes? Satan is stopping the birth of a new generation. He's stopping it. He knows that the moment a father and mother loves God, they will teach the children the way of God. So he tries to shut their womb. You serve Satan and you can give birth to, if you want to give birth to 20 children in 5 years, you will get it free of charge. That's how many of our parents gave birth to us. 19 children, one woman. 13 children, one woman. No medical aid. They didn't even know what was SS or AS. Now, let a woman just be pregnant. 9 months looks like 12 months because Satan is watching. It's in your Bible. I saw a mystery. A woman was pregnant with a child. And when she was about to give birth, a dragon came and stood, watching the child so that it will eat the child. If you will not give it to me, I will destroy the child. It's called transgenerational allegiance. That's what he wants. So you come to a place like Kogi State and you hear that there has been a history of all kinds of demonic activities, sacrifices, and you stand up and say, as for me and my house. And Babylon says, are you joking? You want to be rich without me? You want to be influential without me? You want children without me? You have signed a bet for the war. Is God speaking to us? So strategy number one is godlessness. Godlessness. I'm saying it to you so that you will begin to check your life right now. The moment you find out that a job, a husband or a wife started making God look like an embarrassing thing, you are a victim under the grip of Babylon. How many ladies, the moment they see a gentleman who says he loves them, they no longer will care. They can miss church and miss anything. See, I love you. I don't know what is happening to me. Babylon is at work. That's how to sleep with Babylon. Fraternity. Was it not the psalmist that said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I know I'm a king. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be a celebrity outside. He said, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. That God consciousness, the living with the view that there is a government above you is the first sign that you have prevailed over Babylon. It's not the issue of being a Christian. It's the issue of being passionate about God that He becomes your obsession. And it has nothing to do with ministry.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek.
Listen.
You are my all in.
Some of you are not supposed to be singing this song because it's a lie. Listen.
I'm seeking you as a precious jewel. Not to give up, I'll be a fool. You are my all in.
Ministry can give access to Babylon to destroy you. You can be under so much pressure to want ministrations that you forget about God while working for Him. Oh, it's absolutely possible. Absolutely. Saul was sitting on a throne and God was not with him. How many pastors have fraternized with Babylon? Under pressure to make sure ministry works. I believe that we have morning sessions, and I was told the morning sessions are dedicated for ministry. We have a lot of very serious things, especially for those of you who sense the call of God upon your life. Make sure you come with an open heart and sit quietly and let the Lord grant us wisdom, because there is an error in ministry, especially the ministry in Nigeria. Something very erroneous is birthing, and if we don't nip it and destroy it, it can destroy us. Is God speaking to us? So, godlessness. Or, the most dangerous, in fact, let me tell you, it's even better to believe that there is no God, so that when you are repenting, you repent properly, than to believe that there is God, but it's only one of many important things. See that? This is what our generation is doing. The average believer in Nigeria is very religious. It's impossible for us to deny that there is no God in Africa, because we have seen evidences of tsunami that came and went by itself. We don't know how we don't even have the facilities to protect it. We saw Ebola come and go. And so at least the situation in our lives have taught us that there is God somewhere. But the problem is that the refusal to make Him King of kings and Lord of lords. See that? So God is one of many important things. In Africa, when we open our spiritual bags, there is juju inside. Jesus Christ is there. An apostle is there. A prophet is there. Is that not true? Mammon is there. Other things are there. We lift it up. So when we say God in Africa, we have to ask people for clarification, because God is too general, and the jealousy of God will not allow Him to be generalized like that. Who do men say I am? Oh, they say you are this, you are that. Okay, you have worked with me. What is your definition? And all of them were surprised to find out. Because the Greek gods had other, the Greek, when you read classical Greek mythology, they had the Zeus, Hermes, Apollyon. And so, some of them would probably think Jesus was just one of those great people who came as a result of fallen angels and the daughters of men. But he said, no, I'm not this. He said, before your father Abraham was, I am. We must restore God consciousness. In fact, we must not just restore it, we must institutionalize it. You know what it means to institutionalize it? Do you know right now, people don't go to computer schools to learn computer again, because computer literacy has been institutionalized. Somebody who is a rank illiterate would take a very complicated form and be able to operate it in 2 hours. That's how we must make God become in our generation. Such that the average unserious person, every environment is so God conscious, it will force him to know that there is a God. He goes to a shop and is hearing worship song playing. In the bus he's going, God is being exalted. He finds two people talking and he thinks they are gossiping. When he comes to their midst, they are saying, bless you. And he said, can't you say any other thing? They say, what else do I have to say? That's what it means to institutionalize God. God must be institutionalized. So they remove him out of schools. They remove the Ten Commandments and all the monuments that can remind us of the sacredness of God. Right now, you see what ISIS is doing all around. They are destroying every religious monument that can remind God of what, remind people of what God had done. In the nation of Israel, when God gave them victory, he asked them, build an altar here and write it. If your children ask you, why is this? Make sure you tell them. Let the children know that there was a time A and B and C happened and God came. Right now, most of our children do not have any Christian heritage. Is that true? The cartoons that used to be very godly are now cartoon will threaten you like a war film. Cartoon. You watch cartoon and you are shivering. You're all I want. I don't care what people try to bring. You're all I've ever need. You're all help me to know you. Help me know you. Lord, in this generation where there are many things to choose, we declare that you're all we want. You're everything we need. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know your need. We're just discussing number one, that it kills away the consciousness of God. And then where you insist to acknowledge God, it will now say, all right, see, there is no big deal to this God. You are too spiritual about your commitment for God. You are too spiritual. You pray for 1 hour and they say, pastor's wife. They try to bring in activities that make your passion for God an embarrassment. Are you seeing it now? So, okay, Satan says, all right, be spiritual, go to church, but don't do it too much. Don't get to that level where it becomes a serious commitment. The way you are spiritual like this, you will marry yourself and you feel guilty for praying for 2 hours. You feel guilty for leaving people and say, please, I need 3 days to go and spend alone. Right now, you never hear words like retreat again in the church where people will leave their work. You preach for 30 minutes and people are looking at their time and strolling. After church, they are standing for 3 hours talking business. What was the hurry for? Is that spirit? 30 minutes, everybody is frowning. But immediately they finish, they will stand for 3 hours lobbying for contracts. We have lost touch with the times when a man will go and say, please, I just need fruits. I need to know him more. You go and lock yourself. And they say, what about the contract? Say, let the contract perish there.
I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to call you Lord.
A generation has lost it.
I want to touch you. I want to hear your voice. I want to call you Lord. This is our prayer. We want to know you. Not just preach. We want to see your face. We want to call you Lord.
There must be a generation that will insist.
We want to touch you. We're tired of lies and shadows. We want to hear your voice. We want to call.
Right now, prayer meetings are for old people and retirees. Satan has occupied us. Prayer churches are just full of people who are not working.
or those who are coming to look for job. Oh God, I've come with this issue of husband again. All those who are, Satan has occupied us. We are busy looking for money, busy looking for wife, busy looking for husband. Babylon, alive and working, eating through the systems. As a student, people have the guts to tell you that if you are serious with God, you will fail academically. They say balance it. Balance it means reduce. What a shame on the church. Oh God, if you don't give me a husband in 2 weeks, I promise you I'll stop going to the church. And we put pressure on men of God. If you are anointed, why has your prophetic word not come to pass? When was the last time you went and locked yourself with worship songs and just said, Lord, I have come to meet with you. You are the lover of my soul. When was the last time, Pastor, when was the last time you canceled ministrations to make sure your intimacy with Christ improved? It's possible to be preaching and think that the more your name is on posters, it's a sign that you are moving forward. Ask Isaiah. Isaiah was busy doing ministry in heaven. They were saying, who shall go for us? A man was building churches, preaching messages and prophesying. Whereas in heaven, they were still saying, who shall go for us? Is God challenging us tonight? I will lay down my idols and thrones I have made and all that has taken my heart. Oh Lord, you are more precious than silver. No, you and business are not the same in my life. You and wife and husband and children cannot be the same in my life. You and education cannot rank in the same place. You and ministry and fame cannot be in the same place. There is nothing I desire compared to you. Sing it from your heart. Oh, Lord, Lord, you are more precious, more precious than silver. Lord, you are. How can God be the same thing as business? Who bewitched you? How can God be the same thing as fame? Who deceived you? How can God and money rank in the same place? That's not how you started. Who did you listen to? Who did you submit your spirit to? Who has bewitched you? Who made you think that contracts and God are not the same thing? Who brought marriage so close to God? Who told you spirituality is all about marriage and money? Who lied to you like that? Hear the word of the Lord tonight. If he is not Lord of all, he cannot be Lord at all. Babylon, stolen into our systems, deceived us into either being godless or coming to a point where God is dear. The average believer in Nigeria does not expect his prayer to be answered. He doesn't even expect it. So while we are praying, the truth of the matter is we don't expect it to be answered. That's why when it's answered, people say, let me confess, I really was not believing. That's why it's easy for God and the herbalists in the village to be the same. So when you pray once, twice, three times, it doesn't happen. They call you and say, come back home. And come back home means, it's not like we are rejecting you.
that you are a good Christian, but it's just to support God in your life. After all, God will not reject it. So if you collect this and you shake it and you add it with God, ultimately together it works for good. Elijah said, let's climb my camel. If Baal be God, let it be shown right now. And if God be God, let it be shown right now. Is God speaking to us? Please sit down. Let me talk on one more area and then end. Our time is up. No submission to his authority. Listen, if at any point in your life, please hear me, you find out that your passion for any other thing is above God, just know that Babylon is in your room for sure. The remedy, I'm going to be teaching us tomorrow, but one of the remedies is a retreat. Quickly. I don't care what you are doing. The moment you find out, you have to draw away and be alone with you. And there you say, search my heart, oh God. I started ministry sincerely, but this one, I'm seeing too many ladies in church. I'm finding out that instead of thinking about you, I'm thinking so much. Search my heart. And God says, this is the kind of vessel I want. A vessel that will acknowledge his weakness and acknowledge me. While people are calling you Papa, Mama, you tell yourself, I won't deceive myself. I love you too much. People come into your room and they can't gossip because everything is against it. From your worship to the inscriptions on your wall to everything. Your cup, I love Jesus. What kind of person are you like this? Your shirt, he's alive. When you sleep in the night, you turn Jesus is Lord. You don't know. That's how much the word of God has dwelt in you. You just turn Kabbalah, oh, to my maker. And the person staying with you is saying, my goodness, this thing is not a lie. Have you not heard of people who were being operated and all they were saying was prophecies, even to the doctors? They didn't know. They just woke up and the people said, you are the one who has made me know that God is alive. We were operating you and all we had you saying is, thank you, Jesus, you are worthy. In all this, you have done things well. And the person said, I don't even know what I was doing. That's what happens to you. The same way some of you sleep in the night and say, we will share the money, is what has occupied your mind. What you are hearing tonight, if you pay attention to it, this is how to disarm Satan. When you bring men, this is the worst message Satan will ever want to hear. A message of public declaration of the Lordship of Christ. That's why we sang that song.
KBOC, we declare your majesty.
We are not embarrassed about it. No! We are the generation that we are never asked.
Your majesty.
It's your majesty. It's your majesty. That we have come to worship. We come to pray.
Down. Number two, the strategy of the operation of Babylon. Please write it down quickly. Babylon is a system that is built on fear. It's built on greed. It's built on self-centeredness. And it's built on lust. Write it down. The motivation behind living in Babylon is fear. Is greed, is self-centeredness, and is lust. Fear. A system that is driven by fear. The Bible says, and to deliver them who through fear, the fear of death, have all their lifetime been subject to bondage. There are many people who live in this system. Why do we run to herbalists? Fear. Fear of death. Fear of cancer. Satan orchestrated it that way. Because when you have fear, it will drive you into doing things you never would have done. So Satan has created a system, and your boss looks at you and says, we are just announcing that we are downsizing people. Babylon begins to act. Fear. And you say, look, I need to go and secure my place. And then you go and meet a herbalist. Fear is a motivator for the activity of the people that live in this Babylonian system. Number two is greed. 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 Greed and self-centeredness. What is in it for me? We live in a generation where Babylon has so eaten us up. We never do a thing genuinely without strings attached. What's in it for me? To an extent that if you see, come my dear, if you see a lady like this and say, God bless you, she will look and say, man of God, I hope not in Abi. You see that? Because we are in a world where every time you are generous, people say, what do you want? You never send a text to somebody until the day you are hungry. My brother, he says, I know you are broke, come and collect. Because, bless you, we are, until we are in need, there is no need to extend to people. So you cannot love. Every time a pastor sees a particular kind of pastor coming to his church, he knows that maybe church is not working and is hoping to leverage on his credibility, because ordinarily he would not come. Ordinarily he would not pray for him. Let me tell you something. 90% of the people you will meet in your life will only love you because of what they need that they see that you can provide, not because of who you are. Hear me, so that you stop being embarrassed. So the sister is saying, Kai, many brothers love me. They don't love you. They love what you look like. Change and see whether they will still love you. Are we together now? We have taken that selfishness into our homes. So when we are there, the man gets money, God opens a door, him and his wife, he pockets it. And the wife is saying, let's trust God. I had a dream that God brought breakthrough. Instead of the man to say, God has blessed her, he says, amen. How many men have died and their wives are moving around in penury only to find out that the man had accounts that were stocked around, some even signed by girlfriends and concubines, because we live in a world driven by self-centeredness. How many pastors today build ministries around themselves? And every time they train young people, and the moment a young man is rising and there is grace, they bring all kinds of theologies that throw people down because of self-centeredness, wanting to be the player, the hero, the Babylonian system. Is God speaking to us now? How many times do we derive joy in the failure of others because it justifies our stand alone? And we have extended this to churches. So you hear very stupid testimonies like this. Praise the Lord. I am a member of X, Y, and Z church. We were in a car with other members of other churches, and there was a ghastly motor accident. And I remember the prophecy my man of God spoke to me. Everybody died except me, and the members stand up and rejoice. That was a loss to the church. But because we are driven by self-centeredness, and then we men of God come up and say, don't joke, God is in this place. We think we are doing church, but Babylon is crossing her legs as we are fornicating with her, even in church. In the kingdom, you do not own things. Never forget this. Every time you own things in the kingdom, there is a name for you. You are a rebel. God never gives men ownership. He only gives us access. The language of kingdom is access, not ownership. That means nothing belongs to you. You are only a steward over it. Many men are dying today of high blood pressure because they are trying to protect what belongs to them. The prodigal son had access, but he was not satisfied. He wanted ownership. He said, Father, I want it in my name, not your name. That I'm having the access, I'm not comfortable. I want it in my name. And the father father said this. Lack started when ownership came. And he went until he was feeding with pigs. And he said, I will arise. I will go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not even worthy to be called one of your sons. Take me as one of your servants. The moment he returned to access, he was given a ring and was restored his royalty. In the Garden of Eden, God told man, you may freely eat of all these trees. It's not your own, but I give you access. The day you stop seeing the children as your children, but God's gift that was given to you to train and build, you will not kill yourself again because of children. Satan is taking advantage of you and making them stubborn because they think you are your children. So your ego is tied to them. Don't disgrace me. And Satan says, I've gotten it. I've gotten something to make nonsense out of this man. And then they tell you, your child is at the gutter somewhere there. And you say, my reputation. Leave the owner to be embarrassed with his thing. How many pastors have gone all the way to manipulate people because they think if church does not grow, their ego, in the kingdom, everything belongs to him. Are we together now? Now, lust is not just, it's not, lust does not mean, it comes from the word eros. Anything in your life today that you have an attachment to was not given by God. Just listen, I want to give you a big surprise. Satan can also bring favor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When Satan brings favor, together with that favor, there is a connection between you and that thing. And you start moving in the direction of that thing. People have relocated from one geographical region to another because of money. Money literally made them to sell a house and relocate their family, change their everything. Love not the world. The word is eros. Do not have this ungodly affinity for the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Here's the test. If any man has an attachment, the love of the Father is living him. Are you getting me? The day you become so attached to ministry that it looks like without you, the people will never be blessed. Babylon is at the door of your church. The day you think without your sermon, people will not grow, you are already stepping in deception. Are we together now? Babylon. It's my own. My own. My marriage. My job. I bought this car out of my sweat. Continue talking. Then you, it becomes your responsibility to manage it. And it will kill you. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many men are dying because they are carrying yokes that God did not give. That is the yoke the anointing should remove. Are we together? We are going to pray this night. And part of the prayer will be a prayer of release. Look, hand everything to God and rest. I'm telling you the secret of rest. Oh God, my academics. A sign that you don't own things is that you stop being embarrassed by them. If it still embarrasses you, I prayed for a sick body and it's not healed, it's because it's your anointing. So you have to give explanations that the person does not have faith. The day it belongs to him and it truly, he starts using it for his glory. Where you become just a conduit. This is my life. I live a very happy life. I own nothing. Nothing. I've imagined my life without everything that I have today. And in it, you still belong. Ask Job. That was a test of Job. He lost everything. And Job said, he says, all the days of my appointed time I've been waiting, my change comes. He says, I know my Redeemer in it. Though he slay me, yet I will praise him. The three Hebrew boys said, we don't own our lives. We know God will save us. But even if leaving him is not an option.
It all belongs to you. Oh, oh, it all belongs to you. It all belongs to you. Oh, oh,
ministry is not your own, no. The marriage is not your own. You are only a steward. Don't kill yourself. Let him take responsibility over that which he has committed to you.
Let me tell you how Satan afflicts people. He comes to your life and starts touching different things and watches your reaction. When it touches your finances and you don't react, it means you don't have an attachment. He leaves you. He keeps touching. For many, when it touches money or your reputation, you react in a way and Satan says, that's it. Stay there. And that becomes an instrument of your affliction. Let me tell you one strategy to weary the devil. A dead man is one who no longer has attachment to anything. The Bible says, reckon yourselves dead. You just come back and they say, look, do you know the job you are supposed to get, madam? You didn't get it. And you turn and say, Jesus, I give you the praise. You are still faithful. And the devil say, no, no. You are supposed to be angry. And you lock yourself and dance for 1 hour. And you are saying, are you not faithful, oh God? That I'm alive, I am grateful. When you do this, you praise weary Satan. Let me tell you the kind of praise that weary Satan is called perfected praise. It's praise where you are standing side by side with your pain, not comfort. Dancing with a car is not perfected praise. Dancing with a dead body is perfected praise. That you just had a news that you lost your loved one. And tears are coming out of your eyes. And the devil is saying, curse God. Curse God. And you say, heaven and earth adore you. Angels bow before you. You're beautiful. You weary the devil.
You're beautiful.
Listen, it's a sign you are not attached to it. You just buy a nice suit or something. And the Lord says, go and sew it. And the devil is saying, remember your sweat. Remember your sweat. Will you allow it to go without a fight? And you carry it like your Isaac. And while you take it, and God says, sow a particular seed to Destiny Summit. And you sit down and say, oh God, but I'm budgeting to buy a car. You know that if I don't buy a car, they won't allow me to marry this girl. And you carry it. Anything you let go, you have conquered it. Anything. 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 That's why some of you, God will never bring a man to your life until you are ready to lose men. When somebody comes to say, I found this one, I won't let go. And God says, are you kidding me? The jealousy of God fights anything you are attached to that is not him. Anything. I don't care what it is. Man of God, you want power. Let me tell you, forget about ministry and seek God. You will never find power with this moving around, that people move around. I need this. Give me power. And in your mind, you already see crusade around. And so that me too. No, 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 no. You don't get power that way. You get power when you say, Lord, power or no power, I love you. I'm tired of running around like a fool. God will say, exactly. This is all I'm looking for. Notice that men always receive miracles at the last point. It's not that God wanted it that point. That was the point they gave everything. There is nothing in my life today, and I tell you the truth, under God that I serve, ask him, there is nothing in my life that I cannot give God. Ah, no. I've told him, whatever you give me that takes your place in my life, please take it away. If God tells me today is my last day of ministering the word, as I drop this mic, I will hug Pastor Alpha and say, I will keep praying for you. Continue. We are afraid of losing things. That's why we never don't get it. You must conquer the fear of losing things. Is God speaking to us? Lost. This is the secret of depression. This is the secret of hatred. You are attached to things. Cars, houses, education, reputation. No. It is because of our attachment to things that you can be praying and your phone will ring. And the phone is ringing. And it's one guy that says he wants to go and see your parents. and you just round up the prayer. Hello, honey, how are you? And you sound like you are praying. He said, no, where are you? I can come anywhere. And God is watching. And then you say, Lord, you are number one, Lion of the tribe of Judah, Rose of Sharon, and he's watching me. There are people that the devil has given up over because he knows that whether in life or death, they have cheated him. They have cheated him by refusing. No matter, look, I want you tonight to get to a point where you can come out of a jeep of 20 million and just say, don't be deceived. If you come back and don't find that jeep, you will not die here. You will just turn and say, my goodness, what happened? And they tell you the jeep is gone. You say, Lord, this was metals that were smelted together and made into an object. I refuse to be attached to it. Painted metals. You come back home and you see your house burnt. Your human tears will come out of your eyes. But people are saying, what will he do now? And you say, I know what I will do. I'll give him the glory. And you frustrate Satan. You frustrate Satan. Because what can we do to this lady to stop her prayer life? The more the oppression, the more the praise. And Satan says, look, we are hurting ourselves. By hurting this lady, we are hurting ourselves because the praise is rising higher as the fire is rising. These are the kind of people that God is looking for. A preacher that returns and finds only 7 members, and while he preaches, he goes back and says, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of ministering to 7 people. And the spirit that stopped people from coming will reduce those 7 people to 3. And the preacher will say, even if it's just me and my wife, Lord, it's an honor to even represent your name to the nations. And the devil says, what else do we bring? Have you tried to get somebody to talk? You insulted him, he ignored you. You insulted him and you were trying to do something and everything is backfiring on you. You know how frustrating it is. A man can weary Satan. Your passion, your refusal to be attached. The Lord taught me this as the ultimate secret of freedom. Many people are born again. Many people are redeemed, but they are not free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, he doesn't make you free by saying free. He makes you free by giving you a revelation. And you see how mundane everything is. Let's stop here for tonight. I've been captured by a love I can't explain. That's my testimony. Now you have me, I'm forever changed. I've abandoned everything I've ever known. Now I surrender, this life is not my own. I belong to you, truly. I belong more than ministry, more than prosperity. I belong to you. I belong. I want you in 1 minute to search your life right now before we pray. To what degree have you fused with Babylon? We're talking about the kingdom and the power and the glory of God. We're going to be discussing the kingdom. But tonight, there is a system that is out to destroy men and women. It's called the mystery Babylon. I just unveiled the operation of Babylon to you in the simplest form. A system that removes God from your life, removes God from your community, removes God from Ida, removes God from Kogi State, removes God from Nigeria, or brings religion around the things of God so that we have the form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And then secondly, it's a system that is built on selfishness, where you can never do things to people. You can't get up and intercede for people just like that. You can't get up and just pray. You can't sow into people genuinely. A pastor cannot call another person to just greet. He's confirming a rumor using the phone call. Are you ready to pray? Just a few minutes. Rise up on your feet.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away,
Lord, have your way in me.
In the next 5 minutes, we are going to cry unto God. I don't know how you are going to cry. Take away your golden crown. Cry to your maker and say, Lord, I return to you. Makata paratata. Mean business with him tonight.
It's all about you.
Cry.
All about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you.
Sheketekata. Shepratata la bakata.
All about you,
it's all about Jesus.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about
a prayer of genuine repentance, people of God. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
All about you, Lord. Cry and say, Lord, I enthrone you as King of Kings. No, I am tired of comparing you with other things. You are more than relationship. You are more than ministry. I'm sorry, oh God, for reducing you to anointing. Sorry for reducing you to relationship. You are more than that. 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 Hallelujah. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. God is speaking deeply to you. Deeply to you. The conference is not just a joke. See, listen, as you are praying, God will be revealing to you the things that you have put before him. He will tell you. You will hear him tell you. God will show you, man of God, you will suddenly see that your fasting was not genuine. It was not from a heart to know him. Hallelujah. Prayer point number two. Lord, tonight I lose ownership of everything. I'm tired of the heart attack and the pain that ownership brings to my life.
The children are yours. I only take responsibility and stewardship, not ownership. I take responsibility. Lift your voice and pray. The ministry belongs to you. The building project belongs to you. My life itself belongs to you. Come on, Destiny Summit, pray. Pray. Belongs to you. I relinquish ownership. The strength of Babylon is lost. Attachment to things, attachment to money, attachment to ministry, attachment to anointing, attachment to marriage, attachment to fame. They are not bad in themselves, but they can destroy. Pray from the depth of your heart. We're rounding up. Hallelujah. When you get to a point in your life where nothing aside from God is a do or die affair, when you get to a point in your life where nothing aside from souls is a do or die affair, when you get to a point in your life where nothing aside from your passion for God, it's a do or die affair. You have come to the place of true spiritual power. You have come to the place of an ability that not even you can stop. You have come to a place where you will live as if Satan does not exist. You have closed all the doors he can use. Trust me, I know what I'm saying. I'm teaching you the strategy to weary the devil. His arsenals become functional in your life. To the degree to which they meet with your lust, they meet with your attachment. To worship you, I leave. To worship you, I leave to worship you. That's why I live. Can't spend my life serving money. To worship you, I leave. To worship you, I leave. I live to worship you. If that relationship is taking its place, it must go. Oh, 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 oh. If that quest for fame is taking its place, it must come under his lordship. Oh, 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 oh. I came into the place of spiritual power, not just by fasting and prayer, but by getting to a point where I laid everything to him. Let me tell you the truth. There is nothing in my life that can rise above him. There is nothing God will make a demand of today, and I say it under God that I serve, including my life, that I cannot give you. The Lord asked me years ago and said, son, can you die for me? I thought about it very carefully and I said, no,
I was being very sincere with him. I don't lie to God. Only a fool lies to God. I said, Lord, I can't die for you. But today, in life and death, what's happened? I'm a living sacrifice. Let me tell you, especially for some of the men of God that came for impartation, you will get your impartation. We still have what I'm teaching you the pathway. If you came just believing that I just lay hands and pray and you get up and jack yourself into the anointing, you are joking. You are joking. The anointing only comes on dead men. Death is the requirement for the anointing. I know we live in a generation where we think we can give money for everything. Now, not everything in the kingdom is a gift. Some things are rewards. You must qualify. Your qualification is your death. God is speaking to someone tonight. Some of you will go back this night and you will not be able to sleep. It will resonate in you. What have I taken? What have I made above God? Where have I fraternized with Babylon? Some of you will go back and literally call some of your people and say, look, you know what? That thing you stole, I know you stole it. I forgive you. Just go. I'm tired. I'm editing. Some of you will actually go and gather things in your house that you have piled and you are not using, but you will not give because you own them. And say, look, let them go. Withholding nothing. I'm withholding nothing. Tonight, Lord, we're withholding nothing. I'm not singing, I'm really praying for you. You're withholding nothing. Man of God, lose everything and gain true power. You want prophetic power. You want the anointing for miracles. You will keep laying hands on people and disgracing yourself and telling a lie and exaggerating testimonies until you die. But when you die, your eyes will open. When you truly die. Sister, marriage is killing you. Calm down. Can you throw everything at God and say, Lord, I know that I want to marry, but sincerely, I give it up. And then you will see a man you never planned for come. Because every time you remember that situation, you will give him glory. And you no longer say, it was my pity. You are looking for a job and it's killing you. You get up in the night and you are thinking for 6 hours, yet you cannot pray for 10 minutes because of that job. It's an idol. Before you even get it, it's already an idol. Forget about getting it. God loves you too much to give you what will take you away from him. We'll sing this song just once, and then I'll speak a blessing on us, and we're done tonight. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Tonight I'm withholding nothing. Make sure you are not lying. I surrender all. I surrender. Hallelujah. Father, we declare in Destiny Summit 2015 that we are those who fear you truly. We make that declaration that tonight we refuse the grip of Babylon, this harlot that sits upon the seven mountains, this harlot that sits upon many waters and draws men away from having passion for God. Lord, I pray that tonight, as many sleep, visit them. Give them strange encounters tonight. That between now and tomorrow morning, many will rise up with encounters they will not be able to explain. Visions of the night, dreams. Suddenly you will start hearing the prophetic blueprint for your life. God refused to release it because you are too attached to it. Now that you've surrendered everything, then it can come. Many of you will go to sleep in the night and you will have dreams where you will see impartations happening to you. Because God has been trying to bring you to that place where you will honor Him. Father, let your fear, let your honor, let your reverence come upon us. What we curse Babylon, we declare that this Antichrist system will never gain ascendance in our lives. We are yielded and totally submitted. Lord, we declare that you alone are the Christ. We are not embarrassed. There are not many gods. We are not confused. We live in a society that attempts to confuse us through science. Oh, but your sovereignty is uncontested. We declare that you are King.
You are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now,
yes,
through the good times and bad, you're still on your throne. You are God alone. You are God alone.
Lord, crystallize that in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm praying specially for people whose lives are weak spiritually. Let me just do an altar call. Please give me 1 minute. I don't care whether you have been preaching for 100 years. This altar call is not just for people who have not given their life to Christ. Please don't come out emotionally. It's an altar call of prioritizing God. You may be born again, but you are saying, Lord, sincerely, I love you. But for some reason, I've gone through things in my life that have made me doubt your sovereignty. I've gone through things in my life that are giving me options other than you. And I'm at a point right now where I don't know if I will be truthful to say you are number one in my life. Please, I want you to make your way out here right now. If you are thinking about it, just remain there. There are people here right now. Right now. Don't tell lies.
You are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne.
Preacher, pastor, prophet, that's not the issue tonight.
And right now,
through the good times and bad,
you're still on your throne.
You are on your throne.
You are God alone.
You are God alone.
You are God alone.
Don't be ashamed of your tears. The summit was made for you.
You are God alone.
You are God alone.
You are God alone.
You are God alone.
He is God alone.
I'm praying for you. Don't be ashamed of your tears. You are laying down a very heavy burden that will give you true liberty. Let me tell you, there are people here kneeling down who are probably in ministry. You are tired. You're saying, Lord, I can't pretend this again. I've done it by my strength. There are ladies who are saying, Lord, I'm praying for you. Just give me 1 minute and we're done. The Holy Spirit is doing something in your life. That's what it means. Total surrender.
Please give me you. Everything else must wait. Give me you. Lord, I hope I'm not too late.
come out and pretend. Don't come out and fake it. I stretch my hands towards you from the depth of my heart with every sense of compassion. And I pray for you today. Like a man who lost a treasure, may you find him for real tonight. Let him no longer be like a cheap coin that was thrown away. Let him mean the world to you. I pray for you that there be an activity of the Spirit upon your life. That you will get to a point from tonight where nothing in life will ever be able to take his place. You will stare at your greatest pain and still say Jesus is Lord. You will stare at your greatest victory and still say Jesus is Lord. You will come down from a bike and still say he is faithful. You will come down from a jeep and say it still makes no difference. He is still faithful. You will receive an alert of 1 million in your account and you will say, I'm still not deceived. You will stand and say, I've not eaten from morning till night, but he is still king. My situation does not give him any taint or any stigma. He's called faithful and true. Therefore, I pray for you in the name of Jesus. May God honor your passion. For those of you rededicating your life to Christ, I'd like you to say after me, Lord Jesus. And if you're in the congregation, join them. Tonight, I return. I truly return. I declare willfully and consciously that you are Lord and Lord alone. I dethrone every, no matter what it is. And I exalt you alone. Sit upon the throne of my heart. And I give from everything in this life. Let my connection only be with you and your purposes. Tonight, I drive Babylon out of my life. In the name of Jesus. For all of us who are remaining, I stretch my hands towards you and I pray. Tonight in the vision of the night, as you sleep, may you hear songs of angels, songs that will birth a hunger for God in you, especially for those in ministry as you sleep. May you have experiences that will impart the love of God in you. That you will get up and literally, some of you before this night is over, people will say something has changed. You no longer are attached to things. Something has happened to you. It's like a rope has been caught in the spirit. Some of you will literally feel light as you are going out of this service. You will know that you've been carrying bottles that do not belong to you. I pray for every ministry that is under the influence of Babylon. Subconsciously, you found yourself fraternizing with Satan. I'm declaring that the Lordship of Christ superimposes every creep of Babylon over your life. In the name of Jesus, God bless you.
Celebrate the grace of God. Hallelujah.